We are talking about K-State.
Oh, so good. Thanks, Charlie. Coach Weiss, getting us ready to talk some K-State football. You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. They're rolling the field with the big, heavy roller, like a giant rolling pin being pulled by a tractor that flattens out the field from where it's been torn up and helps repair it, as they'll be back at it one more time. It's one more practice, and we close the books on yet another Chiefs training camp.
Although I sense tomorrow's practice may not be on this field.
Why?
It's supposed to rain 80% tonight and then tomorrow. They may be last year's last practice.
Is that what happened
too? Was inside. They started outside and the rain hit at like 10 o'clock or 9:15 or 30 or whatever it was. Right when we started to hit the air, the rain.
Oh, that sucks. Because tomorrow's Military Appreciation Day.
And they had to move it inside. We saw GI Josh in there.
But yeah.
That came out of nowhere. I think. I mean, the forecast I'm seeing is all night and tomorrow morning to the day 80%. So hopefully that breaks and that didn't happen. But.
Oh, that blows.
Yes.
In honor of Military Appreciation Day, we're going to be over at the Air Force Reserve Base at Rosecrans, where we were last year, the home of the C-135 Hercules.
Things are amazing.
Tim Grunard's fired up to go take a look. Colonel Cluck will be our guide. And
Yeah,
it's going to be awesome. All right, I'm sorry, I'm leaving Kellis waiting. I apologize, Kellis. Kellis Robinette joins us here on our Sprint guest line. He covers the K-State Wildcats for the Kansas City Star and joins us right now. Kellis, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Not bad, not bad. Was this something that you heard was in the works, this contract extension for Bill Snyder, or did it take you a little bit by surprise like it did me?
No, it's been going on. I've actually written about it a few times, going back to about January. Gene Taylor's been pretty open about it, that he had a rollover five-year contract that basically could have run until he decided to retire, but it was kind of ambiguous as to how much he was going to be making from here on out, and nobody really, you know, I don't feel like the public really understands what a rollover contract is, so... They wanted to, you know, set in stone how much he was going to make in salary coming up, and they wanted to make a little bit of a statement that he was committed to coaching a little bit longer. So they came out with a nice round number, 5 years, and announced it this way. So, yeah, it wasn't a surprise, but, you know, some of the details were just kind of hammered out and now public.
So this was done for recruiting reasons in your mind?
I think so. I think it's really just to send a statement that, yeah, that to recruits, that when people come in and ask, I mean, everybody asks it, how much longer does Coach Snyder feel like he's going to keep coaching? And, you know, recruits, obviously they want, you know, a real answer. They don't want people jumping around it. And that's been hard. It's been a hard question for him to answer over the years, and it's certainly been something that other schools use against Kansas State in terms of negative recruiting. I mean, I can go back and think of all kinds of recruits that have been on the fence about it, and, you know, with Kansas State and another school. But the other team's coach is quite a bit younger and says he'll be there for 5 years, and Bill Snyder says, you know, he's taking it year by year. He doesn't know, so that may be tilted the scale against Kansas State. But now that he's signed a five-year contract, you know, when people ask, he doesn't really even have to say anything. Just point to this and say, I've got this new contract. I'm committed to coaching as long as I can, and let's go. So I think that really sends a message to them, sends a message to fans, and hopefully it's one that he can follow through on as long as his health holds out.
If they had said Sean Snyder is the coach in waiting, would he be signing this contract?
So it would be written into the contract that whenever he
would he continue coaching if his son was going to be the heir apparent, or would he hand it off to him?
That's a good question. I think that's probably the strongest he would think about stepping down is if they said, look, if you leave right now, we'll give it to Sean. Everybody knows that's who he ultimately wants to replace him. But at the same time, I really think this is what he enjoys doing. I've talked to a lot of his, you know, peers that he used to coach against over the years, like Barry Switzer and I'm blanking on their names right now, but Nebraska's old coach Tom Osborne, Colorado's old coach, I've talked to them on the phone about him, and, you know, they've all said that they really admire him, that he's still going, and that if they could do it over again, they'd go back and try to keep coaching if they could because they miss it. And I think this is what keeps him young. You know, he tried retiring for 3 years, didn't like it, came right back. I think even if they said, we'll let you name your successor right now, but you have to step down, I think he might just keep on going because he loves it that much.
Does this change the dynamics of who will be next? Does it give us any indication? Does it mean more likely that Sean Snyder is the next guy, less likely, or nothing to be read into that?
Well, I don't know if the contract necessarily dictates that one way or the other. I would just say that there's kind of a sense out here right now that the possibility of father following son seems less likely than it has in the past. It's just from everything that Gene Taylor said, I've asked him when the day comes, how are you going to approach things? And just every time he said it, he's made it pretty clear that they're going to have a strong pool of candidates. He wants to look at all of them. And he'll ask, Bill Snyder, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that person? Is there anybody else we should look at, we should consider here? I think if Coach Snyder keeps, whenever that day comes, if he says that he still thinks that Sean would be the guy, that I think they would sit down and interview him. But I think they're going to look elsewhere and probably end up hiring somebody else.
Were there any scars from the word getting out that Jim Leavitt, was offered the job, had it out there? I mean, where does that stand between K-State and Bill Snyder right now?
I don't really get the sense that really left much of an impact on anything. Honestly, the more I talk to people, I'm not really even sure that report was all that accurate. I think that if the part of it that was right was that John Curry, when he was the athletic director, liked Jim Leavitt very much. And if he would have had the opportunity to hire a new coach, that probably is the first call he would have made. But I don't think they ever got as far down the line as some of those reports indicated. And I would say that report coming out probably hurt Jim Leavitt's chances of ever succeeding him, just because it's pretty well known that that's who John Curry wanted, and the new athletic director might want to go in a different direction.
Just not to be linked up to John Curry?
Yeah, I mean, if you were there on the job, wouldn't you want to look at your own guy rather than
It's a difficult question for me to answer because, I've said many times, I think the guy who's best qualified to replace him is Jim Leavitt. So that was, to me, the right hire. So it's difficult for me to say, well, yeah, he should go in a different direction. You want to hire your own guy. But
defense looks over the years. I mean, if he tears it up, then I think it wouldn't end up hurting him.
Yeah. Okay. I get your point. Yeah, you want to hire your own guy, but you want to hire the right guy first and foremost. And I know John Curry imploded at Tennessee for a lot of different reasons, but he did do some things right. I mean, I think it's important to understand the things he did do right. We're talking right now to Kellis Robinette from the Kansas City Star here in the program. All right, so now the team on the field, what are the expectations that you have for K-State and that they have in that building? I know K-State fans, got a quarterback coming back that knows the offense, got a veteran offensive line. These are all signs of when K-State really makes a strong push, but Las Vegas puts their over-under at 6 wins. What do you think reality is?
I think it's a little higher than 6. I don't know that it's quite as high as maybe some inside the building think. I talk to players and they say they're shooting for the Big 12 championship, which obviously that should be their goal. I don't know if their ceiling's quite that high. Maybe it is. I think we'll find out early on. They've got Mississippi State in the second game and West Virginia in the fourth. I think really that'll tell the tale of their season. If they can win one of those games, they're looking at a pretty good year. Maybe 9, maybe even 10 wins. If they can win both, they're looking at a really, really good year, which would be a little bit of a departure from what they've had recently. They've only gone undefeated in non-conference play once in the last 5 years, and that was when they had 3 nobodies on the schedule. They've had a lot of trouble starting lately. That's just been, for whatever reason, kind of their calling card. They start slow, finish strong. So if they can figure out a way to reverse that trend and not lose a game like they did last year at Vanderbilt, which left everybody scratching their heads. If they can start a little bit faster, then I think their ceiling is, you know, maybe 9 or 10 wins, and maybe they can sneak into that number two spot in the Big 12 championship game. But if they can't, they're probably looking at another 7-5 type of deal. That's kind of where I'm picking them right now. I just think they've got a lot of question marks on defense, and before we see exactly what their plan is on offense with a new coordinator and two quarterbacks vying for the job, I'm gonna be a little less optimistic than some. Let's say that.
Refresh my memory. Is Mississippi State a game that Bill Snyder scheduled, or is this one that he inherited? They put those games out so far in advance. I don't remember. I don't know who signed this.
He was the head coach when it was scheduled, but this was a John Curry game.
Okay. And not one that he can get bought out, obviously. Presumably he would have tried. He bought out a one game, didn't he? When they're one of the power games that they bought out of? Am I not mistaken?
Well, right when he first came back, under the Ron Prince regime, they had games like Oregon and Virginia Tech and somebody else in there. And they bought out all those, and they even had a return game with Auburn, which they eventually played, but they kind of talked about not playing that one. I think Miami was on the schedule, too. That was one they talked about not playing, but that ended up working out for them because they swept that series. Ever since then, it's kind of been their philosophy that they put one good, you know, notable team on there that they play, and now that the Big 12 has their rules in place that you have to do that, there's no more buying out of those games.
Yeah, and you can't put Kansas on the schedule like everybody else in college football tries to do to get to that one Power 5 game. The line around the block, tremendous for people to get Kansas on the schedule. Sorry, Jayhawks, I'm not trying to take a shot, but it just kind of works out that way. So, why did it go so wrong against Vanderbilt? That's usually what he does well, right? Rolling Miami. No, he's played really well, and even when he did have to go play that Auburn game, they scared the life out of him. What went wrong against Vanderbilt, and why would it be different this time against Mississippi State?
Yeah, well, looking back in that game, I think it was two things. One, I think K-State probably overlooked him a little bit. Just everybody assumed they were going to win that game, and they had this huge purple crowd there with them. They had more fans there than Vanderbilt did. I think they just maybe assumed they were going to win, maybe didn't put in quite as much work as they should. And for whatever reason that day, the offense was just stuck in mud, couldn't do anything. I think they only scored 7 points. And that was even when they had Jesse Ertz. So very surprising they could do so little. And they also really caught Vanderbilt at the wrong time. That was their third game. And they were 2-0, and then they beat Kansas State. And Kansas State was ranked, and it was like this huge big deal. Everybody was coming out and saying that they had Alabama next. They're saying, we're going to give Alabama a game. We might even beat them. And then Alabama just completely crushed them. And their season was never – they beat them so bad that they basically gave up the rest of the season. They couldn't ever get it back. I think if they had played Vanderbilt later in the year, they definitely would have won. But, I mean, if you just go back for whatever reason, whenever they played these games, Kansas State has just – struggled against big-name opponents in regular season non-conference. They've only got one win over a ranked team in the non-conference the regular season under Bill Snyder, and that was in 2002 against USC. So it's been a long time since they've actually duplicated that and won another game against a ranked team. They can get a chance this year with Mississippi State, the number 8 team in the coaches' poll. And that's something they've been working toward all year. Is everybody's saying, we got to start fast, can't take anything for granted. So when that game comes around, I guess we'll see how much work they put in.
How different, we're talking to Kellis Robinette, how different, if at all, will this offense be with the change in offensive coordinator?
I think it'll be different. We've heard a lot of different things about just how different it will be. Bill Snyder, I think, trying to play coy and not reveal anything, has basically said that it's going to be pretty much the exact same thing, and fans are going to recognize it, no wholesale changes. I think it's going to be – I think there will be subtle changes. I don't think we're going to see a switch to a spread or an air raid or anything like that, but I think we're going to see things that they haven't done in the past, like throwing to the tight ends. I think we'll see the QB run game that doesn't just that isn't just QB power, snap to the QB, run behind the fullback, and see how many yards he can get. I think they'll try to get yards with them on rollouts and stuff. I think they've got four running backs they really like. I think they'll try a little bit harder to get all four of them on the field, keep them fresh, maybe even use two at a time. Those will be some departures from the previous seasons, I think.
Do they run the running backs more? I mean, that's one of the things. Listen, far be it for me to tell Bill Snyder how to run his offense, right? But if I were going to, that's one of the things I might mention. It's okay when you got Barnes to pitch it to him and a big veteran offensive line and just maybe take a little something off the quarterbacks.
Oh, I agree with you totally. And when you look back over the years, the injuries they've had at quarterback, I mean, last year, Skylar Thompson wasn't supposed to play. He didn't get in until both Alex Delton and Jesse Ertz went down. So I think it would definitely be a good idea for them to lessen the quarterback's workload when it comes to running. But like I said, maybe they can keep running him, but just maybe not put him in such painful areas where you're running between the tackles all the time. Personally, I think it's just a good idea to give the ball to the running backs because they are really talented. I think Alex Barnes might be the best player on the offense. So you want to get him the ball, and if you've got Dalvin Warmack and Mike McCoy and these other guys just sitting there, I mean, you might as well use them. I think that's something Andre Coleman has said, is that he wants to get the best players on the field. And if he really means that, then he needs to get those guys on the field and get them more touches.
And are we going to see both quarterbacks each and every week as long as they're both healthy?
I think we'll see some of every quarterback if they're both healthy. I think we'll definitely see him in week one because Bill Snyder's not going to want to tip his hat to Mississippi State on who the real quarterback is they're going to go with in that game. So we'll see both probably about 50% in that game. I think we'll actually get a little bit better read on who the number one QB is in that next game. And I think they'll try to have, you know, at least a 75-25 split. But, again, going back to the best players in the field mentality, but both these guys are really good. Alex Delton won the Cactus Bowl. Skylar Thompson beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State when they were ranked number 10 last year. I think if they can, especially given that one of them is a little bit better passer than the other, if they're both healthy and they can do it, I think they'd like to play both in most games.
All right, we're talking to Kellis Robinette from the Kansas City Star. Handles the K-State B. Time for our Mosquito Squad Final Four, 877-MO-SQUAD, or go online to kansascity.mosquitosquad.com to protect your family, friends, and pets from the bugs that bite. Kellis, we'll start you with this. Hot dogs. We're having hot dogs today for lunch. Ketchup or mustard on your dog?
Ketchup.
Okay, that's cool. I like
that. All the way.
I'm a both guy myself, but just curious. All right, how long is Bill Snyder the coach at K-State? What's your gut tell you now?
Before a few weeks ago when I saw how energetic he was, I thought this would probably be his last year, but now I'm thinking maybe three more years.
Okay, three more. Put that down. Who's the head coach first? Is it Colin Klein or is it Andre Coleman?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I'll go Colin Klein. I think he's got the pedigree.
Okay. Finally, what's your prediction on the Chiefs' record this year? I like to get everybody's pulse. What do you see from the Chiefs?
9-7.
Yep, there you are, right there with the masses. Right there with the masses. Kellis, really appreciate the time, buddy. Good stuff. Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, anytime. Thanks.
Hi, Kellis Robinette from the Kansas City Star talking about Bill Snyder contract extension, something that was a foregone conclusion and buys him a little credibility out on the recruiting trail, maybe as much as anything. Also gives him a nice raise and shows, I think, that K-State's serious about football. Not that $2 million isn't serious, but $3 million's more. And, frankly, $3.45 million's probably still undervaluing him. The guy's worth $5, $6, $7 million, but I'm sure he's happy with the $3.45 million. We'll take a break. Come back and talk a little more college football. Talk about what happened at Maryland where tragedy fell and the reaction that's coming out of it. It's amazing some of the folks I'm hearing rally to the defense of the Maryland coaching staff. We'll talk about that next here in the program live at Chiefs Training Camp.